This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do fans have a responsibility to buy tickets and show up to watch their team? Welcome to the show. It is the Maggie and Perloff Show. Perloff on vacation. EJ Stewart sliding over into the co-host chair today. And this really started with a thing with the New York Mets, but it doesn't have to be about the Mets. It's about every team. And it's about the fact that an owner could come out and say to their fan base, EJ, I'm doing my part. I'm spending the money. I'm doing everything I can to make us competitive. I'm trying to build up the area around the stadium. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make this a good in-stadium, fun atmosphere, right. Kid-friendly, whatever it is. I'm doing everything I can do in my power as an owner. So now I need you to do your part as a fan and show up, buy tickets, buy food, buy merch, do all that stuff. I think that what started as a conversation about the Mets has really exploded throughout all sports. And can I just tell you, so this stems really, and let's hear the sound, Alex, from Steve Cohen, who is the owner of the Mets. Now, Steve Cohen is one of the 100 most richest people in the United States.
Good list to be on.
Yeah, solid list.
I wish.
So he's got a lot of dough. And he spends it. And he's dipping into his own pocket, so he says, to try to create a product that he thinks could be a winner. And now he wants the attendance ranking for the New York Mets to go up. It was 18th last year. Here's the owner.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Okay, that really bothered me. 18th in attendance when we're right in the middle of a pennant race. I've said this before. The series against the Nationals, right before the final Philly series, I think there were 18,000 fans in the stadium during a great pennant race.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the question, it doesn't matter. This does not have to be a Mets thing. The question is, if ownership of your team is good, do you owe it to the owner and to the team as a fan to buy tickets?
Absolutely not. And to be honest, this annoyed me from Steve Cohen, and it annoys me anytime I hear an owner talk about issues with attendance. Because at the end of the day, I don't think that your fandom is in any way devalued because you can't get to a game. Because you can't pay $30, $40 if you're lucky for parking, that you can't pay the $200 it may take to take your whole family and feed them for food.
Yeah.
The hundreds of dollars it's going to take to buy tickets. If you're going to some of these cities, it's paying tolls. It's paying all this other stuff. There is a cost that comes with going to sporting events that some people just can't do.
Right.
Some of the biggest fans of all these teams are people who just do not have the bread to go to games regularly. And that doesn't make them less of a fan. I think to me, if you're not doing initiatives to say, hey, we're going to try to lower the cost of getting to these games so that we can get more people to come to the ballpark, or lower the issues around going to a ballpark. Like, yeah, you know, for those, not to get into the weeds, but if you've ever been near Citi Field, there's nothing near Citi Field. And to Cohen's credit, he's trying to fix that. But if you have a situation where there's nothing around the ballpark, there's no reason to go to the ballpark unless you're going to a game, and you're asking them to spend hundreds of dollars every time they make a trip out there,
yeah,
you can't then, as a billionaire, which a lot of these owners are, sit there and say, you are not supporting my team enough, and you're not really being a good enough fan by not giving me more money. Okay. That doesn't make sense to me. Also, well, these are TV sports.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, take the TV part out of
okay.
it. So I don't think that Steve Cohen is talking about the person who would have to choose between paying their mortgage or paying their rent and going to a game, right? Like, that is, if you really cannot afford to go to the game, I don't think you should be a part of this conversation. You got to live. You got to survive. You'd have to be such a cold, heartless person to say, listen, don't pay for your kids, you know, backpack and school supplies because I need you to show up to watch Mets Reds.
Oh, that's not okay.
You know, on a Wednesday getaway day. No. I think he's talking about people who can comfortably afford it. And why I actually think that Steve Cohen has a point here. And the reason why I say that is because it is so rare when you have a bad owner that you actually get a new one. You know, it's like the biggest thing. You can get rid of any star. Luka Doncic could get traded. You can get rid of any general manager, coaches. Everything can change. The owners are almost impossible to get out.
Yes.
So when you have a bad one, your fan base is just stuck. Think of all the years with Dan Snyder in Washington. You're just stuck. Think of how many people would love to get Jerry Jones out of there. I mean, there's the Buss family. Like, if you could just get these clowns out, you'd probably love it. And those aren't, and like, there's some that are, you know, more sinister than others, obviously. You know, like James Dolan is not winning any humanitarian awards, stuff like that.
Is that right?
But here's the thing. When you actually do get an ownership change and the person comes in and they're good at it, they're doing all the things that you wish that the last ownership did.
Yeah.
Either they're making the franchise less embarrassing. They're spending money. You know, you're not getting all these horrible headlines about them getting dragged into court or depositions. I think it's okay to reward that person and say, you know what? I am going to buy in again. You know, I'm just so thankful that the team that I root for is no longer getting torpedoed by some rich jerk, that I will now show my part and do my part. And you know what? I'm not going to maybe buy a season package. Maybe I'm not going to even go to 10 games. But can I go to one? Can I go to two in 162 games? Or it would be, you know, only home games. Can I go and find an affordable game? I can sit, you know, wherever and just have a good time. I don't think that's too much to ask for an owner.
But why can't a fan do that from turning on their TV? Because one thing we know about any struggling team is when a team is struggling, TV ratings also plummet. People, it doesn't matter what the team is, fans are not going to watch bad baseball, bad football, bad basketball. Maybe bad football, but definitely not bad basketball, bad baseball, bad hockey. So I'm sure that pennant race, the Mets ratings were probably through the roof. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I felt like everybody who even was remotely a Mets fan was watching a lot of those games. And I just think, I know we could say take the money out of it, and let's take the money out of it, but then let's put other things to it. You have games that during the weekday starting at 7 p.m.
Yeah, it's a little harder.
And let's say you still have money and all that stuff. You got kids. You have jobs that are now not asking you to do 8 hours. They're asking you to do 10 hours. You're working overtime. Like, there's a lot that goes into beyond just even just money in terms of investing into teams. There was a time where people having a more nuclear lifestyle, people not doing gig jobs, people not doing two jobs. They may have the money, but they might not have the time. It may not be feasible
for
them.
Okay, but EJ, again, he's not saying you got to show up to 80 games, a game here or there, and especially when you're in the playoffs. You know, that I can also totally understand. Now, you know, if we're taking the Mets specifically here, and it doesn't have to be the Mets, but if you're taking them, you know, they start off the season, they were god-awful.
They were terrible.
They were horrible. So I think a lot of people, it took the last game of the season and actually an extra game for them to even get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? Like an extra day.
Yes, yes.
So it was hard to believe, like, hey, is this thing real? Is this thing real? So that, I think, changed it. But if you're going to have an owner that spends now where you are a perennial playoff team, I don't think it's too much for the owner to say, come on out. He's not saying you have to buy the luxury box. You don't have to buy a suite. Buy a couple tickets, support the team, and show ownership, hey, I want you to keep spending. I want you to still be a player for, you know, in on Juan Soto and, you know, paying for maybe Vlad Guerrero Jr. down the line, making sure Pete Alonso comes back, who's basically like a, you know, one of the beloved Mets. Like, I don't think it's too much to ask.
I just feel like there have been too many situations where, while that is all true, they're still not doing enough to make the experience of, you know, going to a baseball game or a football game or a basketball game, it is not, or a hockey game, it is not a, you know, 2.5 hour, 3 hour experience. It is really like a 6-7 hour experience.
Yeah, it's an outing.
Getting your people ready, getting yourself ready, getting to the park at a certain time.
Well, it's supposed to be fun, EJ. It's not supposed to be a chore. It's not like going to the grocery store and then going to the dry cleaners and then maybe, you know, stopping at the hardware store. You're supposed to look forward to this.
Well, no, it's a big deal, though. But I'm saying it's a big deal. And if you're not going to make any steps to make it easier, you're just saying my product is better, so therefore you should just go through all that stuff. I don't get that. To me, if you tell me, hey, you know what? Every weekend game is half off. Or you know what? Food this week is, you know, 25-30% off for weekend games or afternoon games. Like, if you're not coming up with any of those measures to actually bring people to the ballpark, I don't really have much sympathy to hear that you're upset that people don't have the time or the money or the energy to consistently get to the ballpark and to the arena.
855-212-4227. So what can owners ask for? Like, if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates and you are saying, hey, why doesn't anyone come out to our games? Like, shame on you.
Right.
Your payroll is $68 million. Like, you're not spending. You've basically never spent. And you are taking advantage of a system that lets the rich teams give money to the not rich teams. And every time you get a great pot, like, are we just on a countdown to when Paul Skeens gets traded to the Yankees or whatever?
Yeah.
So
please.
It's like... Yeah, the moment he becomes anything less than affordable, he's totally gone, and everybody knows it. So if you're, this does not apply there.
Yeah.
You're the owner of the Pirates or the Oakland A's, like, you can't ask the fans anything because you've treated them like garbage. But if you're a fan of a team that's spending with an owner that actually has turned a team around, made them a more relevant, not pretend to be a big market team, but actually has spent. Like, if you're a Dodger fan, look what they're doing.
Well, the Dodgers, he mentioned that I think a lot of this was because he's envious of the Dodgers. Because he talked about how one of the reasons why they're able to keep signing all these big contracts is their revenue is through the roof. They have a great TV deal, but they get people to the ballpark all the time. And I don't know why, because while their team is great, if you've been through L.A. traffic or trying to get to Dodgers,
well, same thing with the Yankees.
The Yankees
will always draw, no matter what. And there's nothing around Yankee Stadium either. Believe me, it's not Disney World over there.
Right. So I think there's a lot of envy from that, because he feels like, you know, he is spending like the Dodgers, but he's not seeing that Dodgers return. But I know I mentioned it was a TV product, but just quickly on that, like, that even watching games is harder because you can't even do that for free anymore. There are less games that are on network television. There are more. The cable prices are a lot higher. Now there's games on digital streaming services. So if you don't got Peacock, you don't got Apple TV, or like, you can't watch some of your teams play. So then there's that aspect of it too, where you're getting nickel and dimed in so many areas. And I think that it's kind of narrow for any sports owner to be like, there's this problem. My team is good and you should come to the ballpark. It's like, well, there's a lot of factors that go into why people may not be able to do that.
Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. Mark's in the Bay. Mark, what do you think? Can owners ask their customers and their fans to show up to games?
I mean, for me, this is a billionaire asking people to give him more money. So part of me wants to just go, wah, I'm a billionaire. Wah, give me money. But that same token, like, EJ's absolutely right. It is not easy getting to the ballpark. Even if you make six figures and can afford the tickets, going on, you know, Thursday night at 7 p.m. when you got two young kids, it's really hard to justify that when you got to wake up at 6 in the morning the next day, get the kids off to school and go to work. So I think part of it is, and look, he's not losing money on that team either. Like, they're not in dire financial straits and putting out a good product. Like, so yeah. I don't have a whole lot of feelings of like.
But the only thing, Mark, is he is saying that he is dipping into his own. Listen, the money's never ending with Steve Cohen, and that's specifically the Mets. We can talk about a lot of these owners. Like, he's got plenty of money to go around. He's never going to be on a soup line somewhere. However, he is saying that he's going above and beyond. Like Juan Soto signed for $765 million, but is not deferring the money like Shohei Ohtani did. Like they're paying that. They're paying that to Francisco Lindor. Like that's cash out, you know,
but
not cash in the future.
He's also going to make money on that money that he's putting in.
What
he's making an additional investment to get money out of that. So, like, he knows that it's basically a surefire profit in the future.
Yeah, listen, I don't think Steve Cohen is in the business of making bad deals.
Oh, no.
And Mark, thank you for the phone call. See, the one thing about the idea, like, on a Tuesday, and I get what Mark's talking about, on a Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, you got two kids, you got to wake up early. But that's not what all games are. I think of all sports, baseball is actually the one who has the most variety of times. Sunday afternoon at 1, you can do Saturday at 4 o'clock. You got your evening games, if that's more your cup of tea. You can. There's random 2 o'clock starts. Like there's other times you can go to games. If it's if you're a fan of the, Green Bay Packers, there's two times, there's three times you're gonna have games. That's it. And we obviously know the days. But baseball is so flexible.
Baseball is flexible. You'll have afternoon games during the week or on holidays. So they are flexible in that regard. But I think to his point, like I said before, I think life was a lot simpler 25 years ago when it came to how you can watch on TV, what your job situation was like, what the cost of going to games was like. Everything's become more complicated. That it, to me, again, Steve Cohen or any owner who complains about this, they're talking about a two-pronged problem of team good show up when I think it's like 8 or 9 prongs.
There's
so many different reasons why people can't get to the ballpark, and to blame it on the fans and suggest that maybe you're not giving the same kind of investment as you should, I don't think that's fair.
And also to our caller's point, I mean, the comments that Steve Cohen made, I mean, he's complaining about a series against the Washington Nationals in September on a Monday, Tuesday, and a Wednesday. I mean, it's hard. Kids are back in school at that time, and, you know, we have to get up. You know, we don't have – our hours are different than the normal person. But, I mean, it's still a hassle, all of it.
I mean, I turned down courtside Knick tickets because I had to be here at 5 a.m. the day before.
You also turned down courtside Knick tickets to watch the Jets.
Well, that was part of it.
That was a big mistake.
That was a mistake.
Brian's in Detroit or Vancouver?
I see Vancouver here, but I don't know.
Detroit Brian is calling from Vancouver.
You
Detroit
got it.
Brian, how you doing, dude?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're excellent. What's on your mind?
You know what? I want to talk hockey and foreign nations, but depending on how long you want to have this conversation, I can answer all of the questions and conversations you're having because it's a great morning show. Quickly, I just wanted to say about the prices. I know you guys are talking baseball, but as a sports fan here, hockey, I'll just tell you last year, and it's justifiable, I wanted to see Connor Bedard, paid almost $500 for two tickets. We pay $30 for parking. It's about an hour drive from my house to get to the arena and come back. So Bedard breaks his his jaw. I jinxed it. You know, Friday I was like, oh, I'm going to get to see this kid as long as he doesn't get injured. And he actually broke his jaw two games before the game they were going to play Vancouver.
That's awful.
So I don't get bent out of shape, but Chicago sucks. And I paid $500 to see this guy. And, you know, I mean, we had a great night, but at the end of the day, it isn't the same as the owners gouging you for prices. Or my issue would be with the NBA when you're paying big money and stars just sit out.
Yeah.
My bigger issue would be just like the movie theaters and paying $100 for a bag of popcorn. I don't want to pay $20 for a beer.
Yep.
I don't want to pay $20 for a hamburger. That's where I think that they should not gouge people, even parking, paying $30 to $50 for parking.
Yeah. Well, sometimes not all the time the parking, whoever owns the team or the stadium owns the parking. Sometimes it can be outside companies who are also gouging you too. But Detroit, Brian, you have a great point. When you're a sitting duck, right, airport, stadium, these places where you have nowhere to turn, like, I guess technically you can bring your own food into a baseball stadium. You definitely can.
Yeah, you definitely can, because they don't really search bags.
Like, you know, like, who wants to bring a peanut butter and jelly sandwich when you're going to Yankees, Red Sox?
I'll tell you a quick story. I went to, I was with a church group, and they went to a Mets game, and they brought Chick-fil-A sandwiches for everybody.
That they bring to the outside. Ballpark.
Yes. Yeah. And that was having, now it's probably more, this at this time, we're at Chick-fil-A in a lot of stadiums or arenas. Now it's maybe more prevalent, but Chick-fil-A during a Mets game was a pretty cool thing. I will say that.
Not a bad combination. Yeah. All right, Brian, you wanted to also talk about whether or not the Canadian anthem is going to be booed tonight. You got the Four Nations face-off. It's the final. Tempers have been flaring between the USA and Canada. Do you think that the U.S. crowd is going to boo the Canadian anthem?
I do, just because it's Boston. I think it was in Philly. I think it would be the same thing. But I back to your guys' yesterday show, too. I do think anthems should be removed from sports other than Olympics and the gold medal team having their anthem played when they do the medal presentation. I think there's no part for anthems and like football and kneeling down and disrespecting flags or anything. I think booing the national anthem's classless, in my opinion. I get that you want to be angry. So boo the Americans when they skate out on the ice. Boo the players.
As opposed to the anthem. It does feel personal. But listen, does it, though? Because it is in the context of sports. And Detroit, Brian, thanks so much. This is stemming from yesterday where we had our great debate. What's the one sports tradition you'd like to see permanently retired?
Yes.
We were actually talking about the NBA All-Star Game. Someone called in and said, stop playing anthems. It's definitely been talked about.
Yeah.
But I think for the Olympics, we all love it. Or for these international competitions, we love it. Does it have to be, you know, a Wednesday night, Detroit-Milwaukee? Like, right. Do we need the anthem there? I don't know. I think it's probably different preferences for different people.
And it's not necessarily an issue with watching the games, but we have had talks about, you know, how do we make this whole process go faster?
Right.
Like, you know, like, let's get the game, let's get the players on the field, and let's go out there and let's play. And this is another aspect you're doing before the game that does take time. Like, could you not start games earlier if we didn't have this presentation that takes 5 to 10 minutes every time you do it?
Something like that. All right. See you guys on the phones. You guys want to talk about this. Can owners request? He's not demanding. He's basically asking Steve Cohen of the Mets, please show up at the games because I'm actually spending money here for these big players and we're trying to put together a good team. So can we not be 18th ranked in attendance out of 30 teams in Major League Baseball? Can the Colorado Rockies not have a higher attendance than us?
He's talking to both of y'all, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
He is. I did not go to... No, that's not true. I went to one Met game last year and it was awful. So maybe that was why I didn't go back, to be honest.
Wait, didn't you go to a Met game in London too?
Oh, I went to two, right. Yeah. Well, I'm at home games, but yeah.
Very well then.
855-212-4227. Okay, see you guys on the phones. Hang tight. We're going to get to you next. It's Maggie and Perloff Show. This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. Drive a Hyundai. Love it. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ is in for Perloff. We got into a conversation about can sports owners ask their fans to show up and buy tickets to their games if they're being good owners? Like, if they're being bad owners, you're the owner of the Oakland A's, you're the owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates, your fan base is fed up with you, you don't spend, you know, like, to be honest, you can't ask for anything. You're just lucky. You should be lucky you still get to own the team. But this is Steve Cohen of the New York Mets, who took over the team now, what, 4 or 5 years ago? Just spent $765 million on Juan Soto. Likely to be a major player for Vlad Guerrero. You know, signed Francisco Lindor to a long contract.
Yep.
Spending the money, improving the team, I think he can ask people to show up. Steve's in San Diego. Steve, what do you think?
So I got a few things for you guys. I actually wrote things down because I feel like this is super important. I think, like, I grew up a Tigers fan, right? And when they built Comerica Park, we thought, wow, it's beautiful. All the surrounding bars and culture and everything and being near the other stadiums helped enhance the experience. So here in San Diego, Petco Park is under a long commitment with the city to constantly upgrade. Mm-hmm. Like, you can look at even the upgrades they did this year to the facilities, to the kids' playgrounds, to all, you name it. They are constantly putting a better experience and product. Therefore allowing fans to go and get a better experience for their dollar,
yeah,
to what EJ was saying. So, you know, their commitment to users, to the experience itself, commitment to having a good product on the field. The Padres are still going to be competitive this year. They're going to have a really deep bullpen,
yep,
you name it. And then also the volunteering that these players do out in the town. Like, they'll make surprise visits to folks, and there's a lot of media covering that, and we all see it. And maybe it's because they're the only game in town, but it's created like this fierce willingness to support the team.
And so you want to buy tickets. You're totally willing to spend whatever, you know, discretionary income you have to support the team.
Yeah, you know, within reason, right?
Right,
it's like the whole city is showing up, like you said. It's not just one person putting the whole city on their back every game. But, you know, it also helps that they have 5:40 games and then 7 o'clock games. So the 5:40 games might be better for families.
Yeah.
It all depends on what you're experiencing.
Baseball's the most flexible. Yeah, like, what I don't like, you know, and this is for the football side, is when all of a sudden they flex a game. And if you thought you were going to a 1 o'clock game and now it's 8:20, it's like, well, there goes my family day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the worst, honestly.
May I throw in one more thing? And that's that this year they switched all their giveaways to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday instead of, like, the eventual Friday or Thursday. Like, now pretty much everything is a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And some of these giveaways are pretty good.
Yeah, they're enticing you to try to come out on the weekdays, which are less popular. Steve, thank you so much for that call. Rich is in California. Rich, what do you think? Can owners ask their fans to show up and spend money at the ballpark?
Well, for somebody who's actually literally driving by what's left of the Oakland Coliseum right now, I think Mr. Cohen gets a little guilt by association, if nothing else. But remember also, Mr. Cohen is going up against the world's most recognizable logo.
That's true.
And he's always going to be somewhat second banana. Yeah, great, he's spending money for players. That's all well and good. But unfortunately, when you have situations like the Fisher Cavall traveling dog and pony show and Major League Baseball literally letting him get away with that, I'm sorry, it runs just a little thin with me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Rich, great point. The bad owners get no benefit out. The Dan Snyders, the Fisher, you know, the people own the A's. I always say the Pirates, like, they can spend, they don't. They don't want to invest the team. They take the profits. They save them for themselves. Those people can't ask for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think Steve Cohen can ask for stuff. I think the Steinbrenners could ask for stuff. Now, the Steinbrenners, who own the Yankees, don't have to because they always are at tops of attendance.
Right.
And because I think going to Yankee Stadium has become like...
Like going to the Garden.
It's like a tourist attraction, right? Stuff like that.
And there's things to do around Yankee Stadium.
There's more than Citi Field, definitely.
What?
Can hit the bars.
Those bars.
Oh, couple of Stans and Billy's?
Stans, oh yeah. Oh,
two bars.
There's still more than
don't
what they got
in Flushing. Don't lie to people,
Manny. Still more than what they got in Flushing.
Don't talk down about Stans and Billy's.
Listen, I've Stan and Billy have gotten more of my money than Steve Cohen has. Don't worry. But let's not pretend that it's Disney World outside of Yankee Stadium. Don't lie to
people.
Well,
there is one quick thing, Maggie, too, with, you know, the San Diego example. And, you know, we can't say anything about the Yankees because they don't have this issue. But, I mean, you also have how many months of the baseball season? 5 months of outstanding weather the entire time. Like, you don't have
to worry.
You don't have to worry about rainouts. You don't have to worry about this maybe a colder game in April or a colder game in September. You never have that issue in San Diego, too. So when it comes to coming out to the ballpark, someone who's been to that ballpark, it is awesome. I get it.
Dan's in Seattle. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. I think Steve Cohen is 100% in his right to ask for that, and I will tell you why. One, the Mets have been perennial losers in my lifetime. They have one World Series appearance. And two, I'm a lifelong Mariners fan. In the last 2 years, we have the most net profit from our TV deals, and our ownership group gives our general manager a $20 million off-season budget when we have the best pitching staff in baseball. Yeah, I think Steve Cohen's 100% in his right, and I agree with him.
Yeah, Dan, and that was and that was my point, is like, if you, you know, it's so rare that you actually get an ownership change in sports, and then you get an ownership change, and it's better. It's like, all right, you got to thank your lucky stars. The sports god smiled on you, you know? And maybe you got to do your part. See you guys on the phones. Keep the calls coming at 855-212-4227. Pat Boyle is here with the latest.
Yeah, let's start with some NFL news. This coaching hiring cycle now only has a few dominoes left. The Super Bowl champion Eagles have their new offensive coordinator. It's coming from within. Kevin Petullo, who's been their passing game coordinator and then associate head coach for the last few years, will now be calling plays for Nick Sirianni. Good news for all 32 teams in the NFL. The salary cap is substantially increasing for the second straight year, increasing by at least $22 million. Last year was the largest cap increase in history when it went from 224 to 255 mil. It's projected to fall somewhere now between 277 and 281. NBA return last night, just one game in L.A., Lakers and Hornets. Mark Williams still on the Hornets. Rookie Dalton Knecht still on the Lakers after that rescinded trade. Had to imagine it was a bit awkward for both guys. Came down to the final seconds with the King having a chance to send it to OT.
Doncic to inbound. Doncic lobs it in. LeBron James, one dribble. Deep three for the tie. It's short. Rebound Vincent. Back to LeBron. Three for the tie. No! And the Hornets grab the win in Los Angeles. Final score, 100-97.
Sam Farber, Hornets radio the call. Charlotte pulls the upset. There were 14-point dogs. LeBron bricking both those threes at the buzzer. Luka Doncic, he struggled again. Still looks out of shape. He went just 5 of 18 from the field, finishing with 14 points. He also turned it over a season-high 6 times. LeBron finished 26 points, 7 rebounds, and 11 assists. Could have also used Austin Reeves down the stretch. He got banged, tossed, ejected, whatever you want to call it, from this game, with the Lakers up 8 late in the third for arguing a bad no call. Here was LeBron on Reeves' ejection.
I mean, obviously, it deflated us a little bit. You know, you lose a big piece like that. You know, he had every right to argue the missed call. But what he said after that, I don't think it warranted him being kicked out.
Also, I don't know how much it would have changed what happened in this game particularly, because it's not like Austin Reeves is some lockdown defender that would have maybe altered things on that side of the ball. Mm. And if Luka wasn't getting the last shots, Austin Reeves wasn't getting the last shots either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the last shots, but I mean, he's a great three-point shooter. They definitely break 100 points. They probably win the game.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's probably enough time in the game where he makes an impact before those last 3 or 4 minutes when it became the LeBron show, I think.
I mean, right. At least you have to be guarding him. Like, that was the whole thing about Luka, right, and his, like, you know, lack of involvement in these last couple plays. Like, you didn't even have to guard him.
Yeah, I think it's just another weapon. I mean, if Reeves is activated and he's helping LeBron, then that leaves, then that's like, then Luka's wide open. And then if Luka maybe starts to hit some shots, then okay,
or
then
does
we can't.
Reeves inbound the ball.
Yeah. And then Reeves is open for threes. Either way, bad loss for the Lakers. They're on a back-to-back tonight, right out of the break, in Portland to play the Blazers. 9 games in total tonight. Over to men's college hoops. Number one team in the land. One of the best players in the nation. They keep rolling.
Turnaround fadeaway. It's no good. Tapped up by Broome. And good!
What a touch. Jani Broome makes his presence known underneath the basket with a great tip-in.
That ball bounced 4 times on the rim before it fell through. Auburn by 3.
Yeah, Auburn Sports Network, the call. Jani Broome, 16 points, 13 rebounds. Number one Arkansas beats Coach Cal number one Auburn. That's a typo. It's a bad job by me. Number one Auburn beats Coach Cal in Arkansas, 67-60. Elsewhere, number four Bama goes down again. They can't defend. They got beaten a track meet by Missouri, 110-98. Mark Mitchell, a career-high 31 points for the Tigers. Mark Sears at 35 in the loss for the Tide. 17th-ranked Kentucky smashed Vanderbilt 82-61. So how about that? Just in those ranked games I told you guys about, the SEC goes 3-3. Not that elite of a conference, if you ask me.
Well, they play each other.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a very...
I wonder...
Carl Ravitch is never living that one down for me. I'm going to continue to dunk on him any chance I get.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a Carl Ravitch.
Oh, yeah.
Center.
That was about a week and a half ago, I think, at this point, where on a broadcast, it was an SEC game, he goes, by the way, remember everyone talking about the SEC, all these ranked teams in the top 10, they were like 125-31, some great record. Yeah. And he goes, but since January 5th, the SEC is 82-82. Tough to pull away from the rest of the country with numbers
Wait
like that.
Wait a minute, what?
You missed that?
I did miss
it. Did
he
do this ironically, or did he
not
know?
No, he meant it.
Was this during the Super Bowl? That'd be the only way I probably missed this. Was it during Super Bowl week? We were just totally distracted by New Orleans?
I think it was the Saturday. It was the day before the Super Bowl game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was sick and dead. Yeah. I'm back, though.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, like he thought he was making like this profound stat. He goes, by the way, the SEC, 82-82 since January 5th.
Do you think someone fed that to him?
That's what I'm thinking.
The light bulb went off for him. He's like, geez, look at this win-loss record.
That's
like,
some bad feeding if that's the case.
Yeah.
So I remember one of the college basketball Twitter accounts then posted, like, here's every conference's record since January 5th, and it's all 500.
Yes, it's all 500.
They're all playing each other.
Yeah, we're no math majors. Well, you guys are pretty good at math, not me.
Mm-mm. Not Manny. He always says
I'm sorry. Pat's pretty good at math.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know. I missed that.
I was
thinking about, is Alabama an actual title contender, was where I was thinking about, because I watched them lose to Auburn, and I just watched them lose to Mizzou, And it's not that they're not a great team. They are, but to your point, they don't defend.
Yeah, they feel very Phoenix Suns, Mike D'Antoni era, where they can score with anybody, but will they defend anybody? The thing I took away from the SEC last night was Coach Cal.
Yeah.
Is it over? Like, is it, like, what is this? Like, you basically took your team that was at Kentucky last year and brought them to Arkansas, and they're worse. They're worse than they were last year.
Yeah, our pal Big Dave, I'm sure, is probably dancing around and loving this. Because
all of Big Blue Nation, they've been telling everybody for years that he was the problem, and he looks like he was the problem.
Yeah. Do you have to give a guy a minute to settle into a new place, one? And two, is Kentucky is not exactly number one of the nation right now either, but, you know, they're fine.
No,
they? They're ranked
good.
Like around, what, 17, 20,
yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, they've been good. They're playing a very tough conference, and both guys had similar
challenges.
They both
played a tough conference.
Right.
DJ, 82 and 82.
Right.
Yeah, same conference.
But Arkansas is barely over 500. They're 4-9 in conference play.
Yeah.
Conference is great,
bad.
But Coach Cal, like you said, brought that whole team essentially there, and not that great. They're not going to make the tournament unless they win the conference tournament.
Yeah, this I feel like he's old news. I don't think we'll have a Coach Cal being an impact on college basketball for the rest of his career, however long he wants to coach.
Wow.
I think the SEC is caught up. They're way too good. Like, in what world is he catching Bruce Pearl and Nate Oates right now? Like, they look like they're light years ahead of whatever he's doing. Like, Arkansas, there was a lot of excitement. I didn't really understand why, because they had a really good basketball coach who had one down year, and they got him out of there, and Eric Musselman. And they brought in Cal Perry, who's running a college basketball team like it's 2012, when it's 2025. We can't do it with all the freshmen, and you're going to have to get some transfer portal guys in order to build out your roster and add some hair on these guys' chests.
Well, I think he's probably going to have to pivot.
And I don't think he wants to, because Cal has always been one of those guys.
He's a good recruiter.
He's been one of those guys also that he has made his plight to get young high school kids and get them to the NBA. He's made it almost like a moral obligation. He says that a lot, where he's like, it will be a dereliction of my duty to think that me winning a national championship is more important than getting these kids generational wealth. And it's a very interesting conversation, and I kind of see what he's saying, but there was a time where you could do that and win. That day is over.
Well, especially now, because the guys are making money to stay. So you're playing, your 18 and 19-year-olds are playing against 22 and 23-year-olds. And I think in football, we see it makes a big difference.
Exactly.
In basketball, too. Pat, thank you, sir. We'll see you next hour. See you guys on the phones. We're asking if owners can ask their fans to show up to games, buy tickets, buy concessions, all of that. Or is just being a fan enough? And how dare you billionaires ask us to come spend our hard-earned money so that you can have your art collection? I'm just kidding. 855-212-4227. Maggie and Perloff Show. Don't move.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ Stewart in for Perloff today. Got into a discussion about sports owners and can they ask their fans to show up to the ballpark, pay money, buy tickets, buy concessions. You know, the parking, they may get something from that, they may not. It varies. But Steve Cohen of the Mets, who just spent $765 million to win the Juan Soto sweepstakes, has asked fans, I don't want to be ranked 18th in attendance next year. It's embarrassing, right? And I actually think he has a point. And I know he's got all the money in the world, and it's his decision to spend it. But the fact of the matter is he is spending it to make the team better. He is trying to improve the product. So why not reward that? You had an ownership group before, and this doesn't have to be the Mets, but this is just the example of an ownership group in the Wilpons who had a very big reputation of being cheap and of trying to do things on the cheap and selling hope when there really wasn't any and all of that. And so he's turned this around. Why not ask people to show up? Ace is in Milwaukee. What's up, Ace?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I just had to call in because especially with the way that Steve Cohen's doing things, I respect him because he looks like he wants to win. And that is the most important thing. You know, we have an owner out here in our baseball team, Mark Antanasio and the Brewers. He consistently shows that he just does not want to spend anything, whether that be trading away some of the arguably the best players in their positions. Corbin Burns 2 years ago, and then letting Willie Adames leave last year, or this offseason, I should say. He never wants to spend anything, and it could only gets even worse when he comes out yesterday on USA Today, and he straight up says, do you want us to win a World Series, or do you want me to provide a summer of entertainment for families to come together? I mean, that's a question that doesn't even need to be asked. Us fans want to see you win. We don't want to see a summer of entertainment. We got plenty of summer festivals for that around here.
Knowing some awesome people from Milwaukee, Ace, you guys find a way to spend the time. I'm not worried about people in Milwaukee having a good time, especially in the summer. I did see this article in USA Today, and it's really disappointing. And it's funny because you guys have dominated the division, right? But for him to basically say,
such a tiny payroll on top of that.
I know, but for him to basically say, well, you know, hey, you should just be happy with our participation trophy, but we know we're not actually going to be contenders, is a really sobering thing to hear as a fan base. And it's disappointing.
And the last thing we need in Milwaukee is to be sobering at all.
I didn't even realize I was using the wrong word to be talking about the great people in Milwaukee. Ace, thanks for the call. Yeah, it's like he got too honest, I think, in this article, saying, what do you expect me to do? There's only so much I can do. There's only so far I can go.
Yeah, and that's definitely disappointing because you're talking about one of the few fan bases or franchises that have never won a World Series. So basically to say that this is going to be your existence forever and you should just be okay with just us having a decent squad and some summer entertainment is whack. And I totally buy that. I think the issue I have with Cohen and this idea, too, it's got to be some proof of concept, too, that the money you're spending is going to work, too. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things we've seen as well, where we talk about so many teams, and the guy who normally sits in this chair, the great Andrew Perloff, will always talk about these teams that spend all this money and then flop in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Dodgers were one of those teams for a long time. You want to talk about a fan base that has PTSD? Look no further than the New York Mets, who have seen a situation where it looks like there's hope only for Lucy to pull the football out.
Yeah, there's a book called The Worst Money, The Worst Team Money Can Buy, written about a Mets team from the 90s.
And I think that could be any organization, but when you have a history as well, when you're in a pennant race, where you've seen your teams collapse, where you've seen your teams blow the big game, people may have been a little beaten down by that and feel like, I don't want to experience that again. Maybe we got to see you become a winner.
Okay, but I get that, and I think that happened with this year's Mets squad, if we're just talking about that. But let's just go globally on this. It doesn't have to be about the Mets. Guys, that's sports. Like, you think Kansas City fans bought their way to the Super Bowl thinking, oh, no, I'm going to go see a blowout? Like, if you want to buy tickets to something where you're guaranteed, basically, to have a good time and leave happy, go to a concert. You know, going to a sporting event, that's part of it, right? That's part of what we, I think, deep down actually love, not to get too armchair psychologist, but, you know, you go in knowing the risk. The risk is you might lose in a painful way, but you could also win in a thrilling way. And that's like sort of the calculation. It's just there's no guarantees. It's our last actual reality.
It is.
TV.
It is. But I think that, again, all these things aren't in a vacuum. So I think these are decisions that people really do have to make in terms of whether or not you're going to get to a ballpark or not. It's just because there's so much money and so much time to be invested when you leave disappointed. As it's one of the things we're having
issues.
That's
a bummer.
Yeah, we're having issues with these players talking about the issue with the sports gambling and how many people now are even more aggressive, more frustrated, reaching out to them on social media because now there's so much more money
that they have on the line
because everybody, there's the access to gambling, it's always been gambling, but the access to gambling has been so much more pervasive. I think that that's a real thing for people. People don't want to have their time wasted. People's attention spans are super short, shorter than they've ever been. To go to these games and have major potential heartbreak, I think, is a thing. I think that's one of the reasons why some teams may have an issue with sagging, attendance.
855-212-4227. So that's a little of what's going on. Again, it's a story that started with the Mets, but you really could talk about it anywhere. You know, it applies to teams all over the country. And, you know, it's a fair question. I don't think Cohen should be criticized for it, but I totally understand EJ's point of view, which is like, hey, I don't know you, Jack. You know, and no one made you buy the team. You did it. It's a vanity project. What's funny about this particular situation is there's a sliding doors moment specifically with the New York Mets where instead of Steve Cohen buying the team, J-Lo and A-Rod almost bought this team. Like Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez, who were, I think, engaged at the time. This feels like a time capsule. Yeah. They actually were the runners up to buy the team, which I think would have been one of the worst disasters in the history of professional sports. I'm not against a celebrity owner necessarily, but it's got to be one that seems a little more stable than A-Rod and J-Lo.
Yeah, I'm against all celebrity owners. I would never want my team to be owned by a celebrity. Because I wonder about your buy-in. Like, you have probably another job, other investments, other things that probably are more important to you.
Well, a lot of these owners do, to be fair.
Yeah, but
Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney.
I know. Yeah, they bought that soccer team, and they took them from the basement to the penthouse. Like, if Denzel Washington is like, you know what, I want to buy a team, I'm like, well, you seem like a pretty stable dude.
I just feel like they'd be in it for themselves. I don't feel like they'd be making moves that necessarily are the best for the long-term future of a team.
What if they're a fan?
I think that might be worse. Mm-hmm. I think they may come in and be like, hey, I already got a big name. I want to make some splashes and make some aggressive moves when really maybe sometimes building a long-term plan is a bigger, better option.
I think if Paul Rudd owned the Chiefs, people would be like, thumbs up. We like this thing. All right, lots more to do. Don't move.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.